And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Amen. Verse number 23 said, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. He brought us out to take us in. It took a miracle to get us out. And it's going to take another miracle to get us in. Amen. This is all about a miracle here tonight. Anybody remember the miracle that got you out? Anybody remember the miracle that got you out? Praise the Lord. And you're involved right now in the miracle that's going to get you in. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. And you may be seated. Moses was 120 years old at the time he wrote these words. He was standing on the eve of entry into the promised land after 40 long years of wandering. He was just about there. It was almost time to go in. Moses spent 40 years in the splendor of Pharaoh's palace. And then he spent 40 years in a Median desert watching a bunch of stinking sheep. And then he spent another 40 years as the shepherd of Israel, as he shepherded them out of Egypt and to the precipice of entering in to the promised land. He is standing now with a new generation. The word Deuteronomy comes from a Latin word that means second law. It's not a second law in the sense there's nothing new in the book of Deuteronomy, but he's explaining it to a new generation. As you remember, God brought the first generation to the promised land, and he said, it's time to go over. Let's possess it. And they said, we cannot do it. There's giants in the land. We're grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight also. And they would not go. And then they began to complain, God, you brought us out here. You're going to kill us out here in this wilderness. And so God said, well, you're right about one thing. Amen, I brought you out. And they had already forgotten the miracle that brought them out. How can we do that, Brother Hart? How is it possible to forget all of the miracles that they saw in such a short time? I've heard people make the statement, Brother Grissom, what we need is more miracles. No, not really. Not really. Miracles are wonderful, but they're so short-lived and so shortly remembered. People don't remember miracles very long, because these people their mouths were filled with miracle food. They were wearing miracle clothes. They looked above them and there was a miraculous cloud. At night they were warmed by miraculous fire. They had watched God divide the Red Sea with an enemy hot on their heels and allow them to march over on dry ground to the other side. They had been delivered by the plagues out of Egypt when God put a protective hand over Israel while he brought a curse upon Egypt. And they saw all of that. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But they forgot all of that. It took a miracle to get them out. And when it came time to do a miracle to get them in, they didn't have the faith to believe. If ever they should have had faith, they should have had faith now. You know, Moses tried to deliver the children of Israel before they were ready to be delivered. And all it got him was trouble. You cannot deliver somebody until they're ready to be delivered. And you cannot save anybody until they're ready to be saved. You wind up like the little boy that came home with his clothes torn and bruises on his face. His mom said, "Son, what in the world happened to you?" He said, "Well, Mom," he said with a big grin, he said, "I did my good deed for the day." And she said, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, Mom," he said, "I helped a little old lady across the street." And she said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, she really didn't want to go." So she fought him all the way. That's what happened to Moses. He was ready to deliver the children of Israel, but they weren't ready to go. So all it caused them was a bunch of trouble. You've got to be ready, folks. Amen. You've got to be ready. That's our prayer tonight, is that folks would get ready. I pray that God would send conviction upon people's hearts and upon people's lives. I pray that God would open people's eyes and allow them to understand the bondage that sin really is. That they would be able to look beyond the few moments of pleasure and see the bondage that they live in every day, so they could know it's going to take a miracle to get me out of this. God had told Israel, he said, "You're going to go..." Papa Abraham, he told him, he said, "Now your children are going to be in a bondage and servitude," he said, "for 400 years. He said, "But I will bring them out." And the Bible says that to the day, God marked on his calendar whenever they went into bondage. And 400 years later, he said, "I'm going to bring them out." Praise God. Hallelujah. And so to the day that they went into bondage, amen, he said, "I'm going to bring them out." And he did what he said. Hallelujah. And so by a miraculous delivery, God brought Israel out of bondage. And there was no reason they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. That was not the will of God. That was not the will of God. Some things that happen in our lives are not the will of God. But some things are caused by our own disobedience. So God alters his plan. He doesn't give up his plan. He doesn't discard his plan. He just revises his plan. What do you think 40 years is to God? That's a long time to me. And that's a long time to you, 40 years. But to God, that's nothing. So it wasn't any big thing for God to alter his plan a little bit and say, "Well, you old sore heads, amen, I'm going to let you die out here in this wilderness. You want to die? I'll let you die." Amen. So he did. They wandered around, and hey, that's a lot of funerals. The Bible said there were 600 men, just men, able-bodied men, 20 years and above that came out of Egypt. 600,000. And then if each one of those had a wife, and most of them did, unfortunately some had more than one, then that would have been 1,200,000. And then if each one had a couple of kids, and some of them had a whole passel of them, then that would have been over 3 million right there. That would have been over 4 million people that came out of Egypt. Now, the undertakers were doing a booming business, because in 4 years, there were probably more than 1 million funerals. I guess that's how they occupied their time. While in the 40 years they were in the wilderness, is going to funerals. Amen. It seemed like every day there was somebody dropping. It was a busy time. Amen. It's a sad thing, you see, when God wants to do something and He brings us to the time and to the place, and if we lose our faith, He can't take us in. And we can alter God's plan. You don't change it, but you can alter God's plan. And they did. They altered what God really wanted them to do. But it just changed a little bit. Because 40 years later, they came to the same place. And Moses has given them this speech. And that's what the book of Deuteronomy is. It's Moses' speech about getting ready to go into the promised land. He talks about what it took to get there. And he said, now we're getting ready to go in. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the same God and the same power that got us out of there is going to take us over there. Amen. Praise God. You see, it did take a miracle to get them out, but it took another miracle to get in. The Bible says that when the Lord told them to go, they came to Jordan. It was at flood stage. It was like the Red Sea all over again. Here they are, stopped by this raging body of water. And God speaks to the priest, and He says, take the ark and step into the river. And they step in the waters, hallelujah. And the Bible said that God stopped the waters. Miles upstream, there was this massive wall that just began to pile up while the waters that were ahead just flowed on down the stream. And God miraculously stopped the Jordan River till all of His people could go across. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. And they got over there. And you know what happened when they got to the other side? All of a sudden, they didn't have manna anymore. They didn't have HEB or Brookshire's or Walmart. How in the world did they get along? How did they survive? So they got across, and there's no more manna. And there's no more quail from heaven. Amen. There's no more water from a rock. But you know what they found? They found vineyards that had already been planted for them. They found crops that were ready to be harvested. Hallelujah. Isn't that miraculous? I mean, they step across the river, and right there, everything they need is right before them. God brought them in at a harvest time. God brought them in at the time they needed to be there. You see why God's timing is so important? If it hadn't been harvest time, they could have got hungry before harvest time came. God got them across just in time to eat of vineyards they didn't plant. Amen. And have crops they did not cultivate. Amen. And so they marched into this land that God had prepared. And of course they came to Jericho. This mighty walled city that there was no way they could ever get into. And the Lord said, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Let's just march around the city. Isn't that a funny way to fight a war? On day one, I just, don't say nothing, just march around. That's probably one of the hardest things they ever did. Not to march and then not saying anything. And that's hard to do. Can you imagine going all day without talking? I'm not sure if some people could make it. So they marched around. Nothing happened. Day two, he said, I want you to march around again. And they did. Nothing happened. Day three and day four and day five. By now it's getting kind of old. And day six, day seven, he said, I want you to just keep marching this time. No stop. Just keep going. And he said, when you get around that seventh time, he said, I want you to shout just as loud as you can shout. Amen. Hallelujah. All that's been pent up on the inside, let it out. Hallelujah. Amen. Around they go. They shout. The walls, they didn't just fall down, but the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they fell down flat. Praise God. They didn't have to crawl over debris. They could just go straight forward, right into the city, and victory was won. Praise God. Miraculously. Miraculously. It took a victory, a miracle to get them out of Egypt. It took a miracle to get them into the promised land. And the Bible said that they began to drive out their enemies more than they, mightier than they. But God gave them power and they began to drive them out of the cities. Hallelujah. And victory came. Amen. Unfortunately, they didn't drive out all the enemies. They let some of the ites stay. And when you let the ites stay, amen, then you're going to have problems. God said get rid of them, and they didn't. They made some pacts, and they made some contracts, and they made some alliances. And because of that, we read about troubles, and they're still having troubles over there today. Amen. Now, it took a miracle to get you out. Anybody remember where you were when he found you? Hey, man, do you remember how bound you were? Do you remember what your life was like? Hey, man, do you remember the habits that bound you and the unhappiness that was in your heart and the misery that was in your home? Hey, man, and you didn't know there was anything else. You thought that's what life was because that's what everybody else was doing. Amen. And suddenly he came to you. Hallelujah. And he said, I want to take you away from all this. Praise the Lord. Amen. It took a miracle to do that. Sometimes we say salvation's free. It may be for you, but it cost him some. And I'm of the persuasion it's not free for us. I think it cost us the same thing it cost Jesus. Everything. That's what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. All that you are and all that you can be, that's what it's going to cost you if you're going to serve God. Amen. And if you're going to make it in. So it took a miracle to get us out. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We sing about that blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. There's power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? Sister Hart, sing about it tonight. That precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it took. It took a miracle, friend. You know how much of a miracle that is? The only one that could shed the blood that could save us was God. And God was a spirit, or God is a spirit. He didn't have flesh. He didn't have blood. But in the fullness of time, God, who is a spirit, took upon himself a house, a body that was flesh and blood, and he lived in that body, and he ministered in that body, and he taught in that body, and he healed and ministered in that body for 33 years of time. And then at the appointed time, God took that body that he inhabited to a place called Calvary and endured the piercing of nails and the thrusting of the sword into his side. And the God of heaven and earth, that his spirit took upon himself a flesh form and shed blood so that our sins could be washed away. Amen. It wasn't easy. It took a miracle for that to happen. Amen. But you know what happens when sins contact the blood of Jesus Christ? They're blotted out. They're washed away. They're forgotten. They're obliterated. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. He can deal with the things that I cannot deal with. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And even though our sins are gone, you know what we needed? We needed to become new creatures. You know what I appreciate about God? He doesn't use Band-Aids. He doesn't patch stuff up. Amen. You know, you see stuff all the time that says new and improved. Amen. Well, God really does the new and improved thing. He makes it brand new. Amen. Praise God. And so what God did was He took His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. And He put that Holy Spirit into our physical bodies. Woo! You talk about a miracle. Hallelujah. God that was so holy and so pure, He told Israel, He said, don't you dare touch this mountain or you'll be slain. Amen. And He wouldn't even let the high priest come in but one time a year, and he'd got to make great preparations before we could ever come into the presence of the Lord. But after the shedding of the blood, hallelujah, amen, after the applying of the blood, He allows His Holy Spirit to come inside of us, and we become the temple of God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, whose you are? You talk about a miracle. It took a miracle to get us out. Amen. Praise the Lord. It took a miracle to get us out. It took the water. Amen. Just like Israel went through the Red Sea to get out, and then they went through the Jordan River to get in. Amen. We got to go through some water, folks. Thank God that there was a day that a preacher took my 12-year-old body and put it under the water and said, Johnny, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. Pray, it's been a long time ago, but you know what? That's still working. The water and the blood and the name and the Spirit, they're still at work. Hallelujah. Sunday was my 44th spiritual birthday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that 44 years ago, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And a miracle happened. And the thing is that got me out. Amen. But the same miracle's taken me in. Amen. A little sister told me one time, she said, I didn't think you'd make it this long after I'd been living for the Lord a couple of years. Amen. But you know what? The miracle. It's the miracle. It's the miracle. It's the miracle that's taken me in. It's not of good that I have done. Amen. But it's the miracle of grace. It's the miracle of mercy. It's the miracle of faith. Amen. It's the miracle of obedience. If I say obedience. Amen. That's a word that a lot of folks don't like. But it's necessary. Amen. It's what we've got to have. Without obedience, we cannot serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We have to have obedience before we can actually serve Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks a good bit about that particular thing that we call obedience. Amen. We know in the Old Testament it said to obey is better than sacrifice. I've heard people say this. They said, well, you know, it's easier to get to repentance than it is and forgiveness than it is to ask permission. Amen. Well, that may be so with men, but it's not a good idea with God. We call that abusing His grace. Abusing His grace. Amen. Well, I know that God will forgive me. Yes, He will, but it's abusing His grace. It's taking advantage of something so precious and so pure and so perfect and so good. Amen. We don't want to abuse something so precious as God's grace. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Romans said, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's talking about Adam. Mama Eve and Papa Adam left their mark on every one of us today. Amen. And your kids got that same spirit and that same nature that they had. That's why you don't have to teach children to lie. You don't have to teach children to throw fits and get mad and get angry. Amen. And go into a rage. You don't have to teach children that. You have to teach them not to. Isn't that right? That spirit of disobedience, by one man it came into the world. Amen. And that it came from our Papa Adam. Amen. It said, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Because Jesus came and said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. He said, I didn't come here to do my will. I come to do His will. The words I speak not of myself. But what I hear my Father say, that's what I speak. The works that I do not of myself. But it's my Father that doeth the works. Amen. So He's saying, my will is His, my words are His, and my works are His. If you can give God your words and your works and your will, you'll have it made. That's what obedience is. James wrote, the man that offendeth not in word, the same as a perfect man. Amen. Pray. That's hard to do, isn't it? Never make a mistake when you speak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Always speak just right. I wish I could do that. That would be wonderful. Praise God. Amen. But by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous if we walk in obedience. Romans 6 and 16, Paul said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And that's what really just tells the tale, isn't it? Amen. Who I listen to and who I obey. Do I listen to the Spirit of God or do I listen to the flesh? Amen. Do I listen to the human spirit or do I listen to God's Spirit? You see, that's where obedience comes from. And that determines how the outcome is whom I yield myself to obey. Everybody say yield. You see, you hold the key, don't you? You hold the key. You make the final decision. Amen. Satan cast one vote. God cast one vote. You cast the deciding vote. Amen. And when we side with God, that's obedience. When we side with God, that is righteousness. And it takes a miracle to do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Most of us do pretty good most days. Isn't that great? Well, I thought it was. Maybe you're not good at doing as good as I thought you were. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But when we cast our vote with God, that's righteousness. Amen. And I think we do that much more than we do the other. Praise the Lord. Amen. So thank God for obedience. Amen. I want to learn how to be obedient to the Lord. Praise God. Somebody asked a man one time, they said, how can you be successful living for God? He said, but I don't know if I can be successful or not. He said, but I tell you what. He said, I'm not trying to be perfect. And I'm not trying to be successful. He said, I'm just working on being obedient. But you know what? If you'll be obedient, you'll be successful. And if you'll be obedient, you'll be perfect. Amen. Just work on being obedient. Just work on doing what you know to do. You know, sometimes we want an angel to come and help us. Sometimes we want a miracle. Sometimes we want a sign. Most of the time, you just simply know what to do. Hello. You just know what to do. And that's all you need. You have the word, stand on it. You have the knowledge, act on it. Amen. It's just simply learning to obey God. And we do that, and that's the miracle that's going to take us in. The miracle of obedience. There's a miracle of mercy. Somebody defined mercy as getting what you do, not getting what you do deserve. When you don't get what you do deserve. That is mercy. Amen. I should have been destroyed. Amen. I should not be where I am. Amen. But mercy brought me this far. 136 Psalm, all 28 verses, I believe it is, start and end by, "And His mercy endureth forever." Thank God for mercy. Amen. The prophet said that His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for mercy. Mercy is not a one-way street. Amen. Mercy is not a one-way street. The Bible said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Jesus said that if we forgive, then our Heavenly Father will forgive us. If we have mercy on others, He said, "I'll have mercy on you." He said, "If you won't have mercy and you don't forgive, I won't forgive you." So mercy is not a one-way street. Mercy is a two-way street. Amen. And thank God that it's a two-way street. Amen. We've got to have mercy to receive mercy. But thank God He has mercy on us. The miracle of mercy is going to save us. That's what's going to take us in. We're not going to go in because we're worthy. We're going to make it because He's merciful. We're not going to go in because we're good. We're going to go in because He's merciful. Hallelujah. Thank God for His mercy today. Amen. I'm so grateful for God's mercy. And I'm so grateful for God's grace. Grace is divine enablement. Another person said that grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. You don't deserve grace. You don't merit grace. You don't earn grace. God just gives it because He's good and because He's merciful and because He's God. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for grace. It's many faceted. It's a difficult word to even explain or understand. But thank God for grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace is what enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. But God enables you to do what you can. When you think you can't take any more, grace shows up and you find new strength. When you think you can't make it through the day, and you can't make it through the trial, and you can't make it through the trouble, grace shows up. And when grace comes with strength and favor and blessing, amen, you find that you are stronger than you thought you were. Paul asked God one time, he said, "I want you to take away this thorn out of my flesh." And he prayed three times. And finally the Lord said, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." None of us like to be weak. Amen. You know, I suppose it's a little insulting to be called a lamb. Amen. "Behold, the Lamb of God." What kind of man is that? We like that lion business. the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But here he comes, the Lamb. The Lamb is a picture of weakness and meekness and surrender. Amen. God won this battle not through his strength, but through surrender and through weakness, didn't he? He became a lamb, though he was the lion, and he is the lion, but he became a lamb. And he won the victory not as the lion, but as the lamb. He sacrificed his life as the lamb. He shed his blood as the lamb. God won the most difficult victory and the most horrible battle by being a lamb. And he won through surrender to the will of God. And through that, he conquered all the power of sin. Amen. Praise God. So thank God for grace. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Paul said, therefore, he said, I will most gladly endure persecutions and afflictions and all of these troubles and trials that he went through. He said, for when I'm weak, he said, then I'm strong. When I'm dependent on God instead of on myself, I'm strong. Amen. When I'm in a den of lions, I'm dependent on God and I'm strong. And when I'm in a fiery furnace, I'm dependent on God and I'm strong. And that's what grace is. It's when you're in an impossible situation and God shows up. And he always does. You don't have to ask for trouble. You're going to have plenty of it without asking. I've heard people say, don't pray for patience. Amen. Well, you're going to have troubles anyway, so you might as well. It's not going to matter whether you pray for it or not. You're going to have troubles. Amen. You're going to be tried. Just go ahead and ask. You're going to have it anyway. Amen. God's going to see to it that you get to, and if you don't get it this time, you'll get to take that test again. And again. And again. And again. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. And so God provides grace for us. That's a miracle. Amen. I've known a few folks that would get worried and they'd say, Brother Grissom, I don't know if I can make it. Yeah, you can make it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to give my life. Oh, if it comes to it, you will. I don't know if I could watch my family get hungry and not take the mark. Well, yeah, you can, because if we come to that time, if God brings us to it, he'll take us through it. There'll always be provision. There will always, 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 always be provision. Because God, it took a miracle to get you out, and it's going to take a miracle to get you in. One of the things that happens is sometimes we live for God long enough, we think we've got it figured out, Brother Hart. We think we know now. No, 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 no. That's why the Bible says Jesus is the way. You can't make it without him. We've said it before. I say it again. You want to go to heaven? Just take off. Get with it. Go now. Scoot. Well, you can't, because he's the way. Amen. You can't go until the way comes and gets you. Amen. He's not only the path, but he's the conveyance. He's the vehicle. He's what's going to get us there. We can't make it without him. It took a miracle to get us out. It's going to take a miracle to get us in. But that miracle is going to happen in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, the trump of God is going to sound. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to take a miracle to get out of here, folks. But God's going to provide it. Whichever way it comes. If you got to go by the way of death, that's okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. One poet said that graves are nothing but doorways made in sod. Amen. It's the way to get out of here. People dig the hole and think that's an end. That's not an end. That's just the doorway to get out. Praise the Lord. One of these days, He's going to call and the door's going to open. And we're going to stand before the presence of the Lord. Amen. It took a miracle to get us out. It's going to take another miracle to get us in. But our God is a God of miracles. Amen. I love this verse in the book of Philippians. Paul said, be in confidence, very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He started it, and he's going to finish it if you let him. Amen. Anybody want to go? Anybody still believe you can? Praise God. Anybody ready to go? Amen. He said that we're supposed to be looking for His appearing. That's who He's coming for. Amen. We've got to be looking, expecting Him. Amen. Believing. Praise the Lord. Because He's coming for those that are looking for His appearing. The Bible said those that have made themselves ready. Amen. Now, you get to a certain age, people don't dress you. You have to dress yourself. They'll provide the garments, but you've got to put them on. I've heard people say, well, you know, salvation is it's just all grace. You don't have to do anything. I disagree. He furnishes the garment, but you've got to put it on. I said, He furnishes the garment, but you've got to put it on. The Bible talks about some people that He invited them to a wedding. And they all came in and there was a big banquet going on. But the Bible said there was some there that didn't have wedding garments on. Why not? They were furnished. They had one there with their name on it. All they had to do was put it on. But they didn't think enough of the host. They didn't think enough of the honoree to even change their garments. So the Lord of the banquet said, you take those that don't have on the wedding garment and you cast them out. God has made a garment available for us, but we got to put it on. Amen. As Jaron Davis wrote a song some years ago, he said, don't sit down with your wedding garment on. It could get wrinkled. And it could get torn. Amen. You ever seen a bride get ready? Amen. She gets that beautiful dress on. She don't get to sit down. Amen. She stands and stands and stands and stands because she's afraid it'll get wrinkled. Afraid to get a spot on it. Afraid it might get a little tear. Amen. Very careful with that garment. Amen. Because this is a special day. And this is a special garment. Amen. God has given us something precious here today. Amen. Let's take care of it. Amen. Let's don't get lax. Amen. The Bible said His bride's going to be glorious without wrinkle or blemish or spot or any such thing. He's given us provision. He's given us the miracle. Amen. But let's not be like Israel. Let's not come to the point of departure and say we can't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's come to the point of departure and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I'm ready. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. That same miracle that got you out, that same mercy, that same grace, that same Holy Ghost power, that same precious blood, that same omniscient name and omnipotent name. Amen. It got you out of your sins. It got out of your old life. And it's going to take you into the new one. Praise God. It has brought you to this point. It's going to take you all the way home. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Have grace. Have faith. Have confidence. God's Amen. Partake of His mercy. Grace. I love that verse that says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in the time of our need. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's here, whatever you need. It's still here. Praise God. It's where you started. It's still here. It's not. It hasn't left. Amen. It's still available. You can still find it. Grace. Mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
With
oh,
grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin.
Oh, great.